Learning that Julie would be away on vacation, I offered to preach this Sunday. And she observed some regret, saying that she was preparing to preach on Hosea because it is important to preach the difficult text. And I don't know if that was meant to be a gauntlet thrown down, but today's sermon will be on Hosea. Because it is a reading that I grapple with, that my first response to hearing this is, one, it's the start of the story, so it is difficult to make sense of it at this point, but I begin in anger, even frustration, because we have Hosea, whose name means salvation. It's actually the first name of Joshua before Moses changes it. Obviously, this is a different Hosea. I would begin with Hosea, whose name means salvation. We'll come back to that. And he is commanded by God to take for himself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. And so he takes Gomer, daughter of Diblaim. Now, Diblaim, this is the only time we hear his name. This is the only connection, and his name is not obviously symbolic. Gomer's name means to finish, to bring to an end, to complete. So we have salvation, we have completion, and then Gomer bears her first child, a son, and the Lord commands that his name be Jezreel. Now Jezreel means God scatters, or God sows in the way of sowing seeds. So you can see how it could come to both, scattering or sowing, scattering or planting. And here, the symbolism seems somewhat neutral, though of course, the Lord takes pain to clarify that it is not neutral, that he will scatter the nation of Israel, that he will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel. And then Gomer conceives again and bears a daughter. And here things get clearly worse, for the Lord commands that this daughter be named Lo-Ruhamah. And here the explanation is true to the etymology. Lo-Ruhamah means no pity or no mercy. And then after Lo-Ruhamah is weaned, Gomer conceives a third and final time and bears a son. And again, the Lord commands that he be named, and that he be named Lo-Ami. And again, the etymology is literal. It means not my people. And the reason that I am angry or frustrated is that this seems profoundly unfair to Gomer and her children. Imagine being little Lo-Ami on whatever the ancient Israelite equivalent of the playground is. You always get picked last for the team. That it seems so profoundly unfair that this woman is defined only by her sexual mistakes, that she is used as a warning, as so many women in the Bible are, and that her children are saddled with God's retribution, God's condemnation of the nation of Israel. It feels as if he is giving his children a serpent or a scorpion when they asked for fish or an egg. But what is a prophet's vocation if not to upset us, to unsettle us, to challenge our preconceptions, to shake us out of our complacency, especially when things have gone awry in our relationships with each other or with God? And in the context in which Hosea, in which salvation is preaching, things have gone very awry. Thus, the great whoredom that the land has committed in forsaking the Lord. Because after Solomon, the kingdom of Israel had divided in two, the kingdom of Israel in the north and the kingdom of Judah in the south, and things had not gone well. The community of Israelites became known for their injustice, for the lack of communal concern, for the lack of concern for the poor and the needy. And in this time in particular, the land of Israel was threatened by the great powers that surrounded it, especially Egypt and Assyria. And so there were political efforts in this already corrupt kingdom to play the game, to be political, to play Egypt and Assyria off of each other, to try and prevent conquest and subordination. So they had lost political faith in God as their king, as their leader, as their lord. But to make matters worse, their societal bonds were falling apart, their political bonds were falling apart, defined by doubt, defined by a lack of faith. But in their distress, in their complacency, the people of the northern kingdom had also turned to other gods, had engaged in idolatry. Don't get me wrong, they would still worship Adonai, Elohim, but then they would also offer to Baal or Ashtarte, to the other gods of the region. So we can perhaps begin to understand why the Lord our God, the Lord their God, was upset, felt that the covenant had fallen out of balance, that the people had forgotten the purpose of their community together, to journey together and follow the Lord their God who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And so into this context, Hosea is born, Hosea is given his ministry. It's also worth noting that Hosea came after Amos, that great prophet of justice. And Hosea is commanded by God to take his wife, to have these children, and it sounds dire. It sounds as if God has committed himself to judgment and that destruction will be the only experience that the northern kingdom has of their God, that they will be scattered, they will be shown no mercy, they are no longer his people. But notice, even as these children are named, even as Gomer and Hosea have their early relationship, and most commentators believe that their early marriage was a good one. After all, they have three children. Even in the midst of this, there are signs of hope. But I will have pity on the house of Judah, again, not the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will save them, not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen. So still, there is a certain condemnation on the northern kingdom, but there is an emphasis on God's saving action in history, not by our usual expectations of war or politics or other gods, but by the very nature of who God is. And then by the very end, God seems to shift out of the mode of justice into the mode of mercy, perhaps even despite God's self. Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can be neither measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, "You are not my people," it shall be said to them, "Children of the living God." So the last words of Hosea, of salvation that we hear today, is words of assurance, of mercy, that the covenant still stands, that God will continue to be in relationship with his people and will call them his children. It's also worth noting that Hosea is the first time we get the image of the covenant between Israel and God as that of a marriage, of an ongoing, complicated relationship that is fundamentally defined by love. So even in the midst of God's justice, even in the midst of God's righteous anger, we get words of love, of mercy. And I wonder about those children of whoredom, those children of Gomer, Jezreel, Lo Ruhama, and Lo Ami. Because, and I can never remember who said this, but there is a saying in children's education theory that children can only be what they see. And this is a society defined by the breakdown of relationship, by exploitation, by political maneuvering and unease, and by idolatry. So even as we may be frustrated at God for the particular choice of names, it is understandable that these children would face a difficult road growing into relationship with God and with their neighbor, would struggle to be anything besides a lack of mercy, a scattering, a lack of connection to God and God's people. And so in our own time of political turmoil and dissension, our own time of idolatry and presumption of God's judgment. And I think we all know that too many people in our life together assume that they know God's righteousness, that they know God's judgment and can enact it for themselves. In this time, so very similar to Hosea's, I hope, one, that you do not take any naming advice from this prophet, but that you remember that in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of God's judgment, in the midst of God calling us to task, that God's justice is always secondary to God's mercy, that God desires relationship with God's children and God's spouse, which we are both, before any question of condemnation. Not that God's judgment will pass away, but that mercy is always the final word of salvation if we will just live into relationship with each other and with our God, having faith even when faith seems all but impossible. And even while we grapple, even while we may still have anger and frustration, even after we may wonder at quite what God is up to in all of God's ineffable wisdom, still we can, at least to the best of our ability, be sure of that. Trust that mercy will be the final word, that wherever our social life or even our familial life has fallen into disarray, there is still opportunity to return again, still opportunity to be in relationship, still opportunity to be defined by mercy. And that is good news indeed. Amen.